This is Moe and McGee on Fantasy.
All right, folks, this is the primer episode. Moe and McGee, TKD, getting you ready for the weekend slate. We got some flex plays. We got some really good questions this week. Nice job on those, Kevin. And we got some bets that we have not been hitting at a very good rate.
Yeah, it's been a rough start. We're dipping back into the reserve bankroll now. It is not a good situation. I think our goal for this season was to make 10 grand, and I think we have 20 grand to go.
Yeah, you know, if you've been putting $100 on each of these, you are down a lot. However, we're going to hit some this week, Kevin. Just like I hit on my flex play last week, Isaiah McKenzie, 21.2 points. I told you to put him in your flex. If you did, you probably did really well. We don't need to talk about my other pick, Eno Benjamin, only 4.3 points. And Kevin, I don't know if you want to talk about yours.
Yeah, Irv Smith got 5.2 points. That didn't lose you the week, probably, in your tight end spot, but not good. But good pick, Mo. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks. You didn't mention Nelson Aguilar, who only had 4.1
points. Oh, yeah, that was conveniently left out. Thanks.
Kevin, I see that you went back to the tight end well this week. Who are your flex plays?
Yeah, I went back to the tight end well. If you drafted Cole Kmet, if you drafted, you know, at this point, Dawson Knox, a lot of these guys, you might be kind of scrapping, trying to find any points out there anywhere. I like Noah Fant going up against Detroit. Detroit's 24th in points against on deep or to tight ends. This could very easily be a shootout. Detroit's been scoring a ton of points. Seattle's, you know, not been doing as much, but expect Detroit to kind of roll coverage to either DK or Tyler Lockett and let Fant and the other receiver kind of eat. I like Fant here.
Yeah, it hasn't been super consistent, but you're right. Their tight end, you know, landscape is such a black hole where if you can pick up a guy like Noah Fant in a good spot, you can maybe get by with not having drafted well.
If you get 11 points, unless you're facing Andrews or Kelsey, you probably outscored your opponent.
There you go. Who's your other pick?
My other pick is George Pickens going up against the Jets. The Jets, you know, I said it on last episode, for some reason want to throw the ball every fucking play. Pittsburgh, not so much, but they might be forced a little bit here if the Jets can manage to hop out to a little bit of a lead. I like George Pickens to kind of come into fruition a little bit after all of the preseason hype.
Yeah, he had a massive catch last week, and maybe that gets him going a little bit. Maybe it gets, him a little bit more snaps. Chase Claypool just looks uninspired, maybe is the word. And maybe a switch to Pickens getting some more snaps could be in the cards. I just switched my flex play because I was originally going to go with someone else, and I was like looking him up to talk about him, and I was like, oh, that's really bad. I'm going with the Dortch man. I'm going with the Greg Dortch guy. He's currently wide receiver 19. I think you can get one more week out of him. The reason being, they're playing Carolina, who
hey.
not a bad defense by any stretch, but not a good one.
No,
and so AJ Green is out for this game. Rondale Moore might come back, but I think AJ Green being out provides you maybe 1 to 2 more weeks to start Greg Dortch. I'm in on Greg Dortch. I think he gets you another 6-7-ish targets. He was at 10 last game. He was at 9 week one, scoring touchdowns too. So I'm going to go with Dortch. I'm going to ride the hot hand for one more week.
Yeah. Breaking news. Coach Cliff Kingsbury expects Rondale Moore hamstring to be ready for week 4 or 5. But he's been saying that for the last 3 weeks. Hammer Dortch. Dortch has been, the replacement for Rondale Moore and Moore. Yeah, I like it. Can't argue with that many targets. He will be highly sought after in the waiver wire, though. So you're going to have to bet up for him a little bit.
Yeah, probably, but I'm not worried. Let's go to my second guy, and that's Nico Collins. That's right, Nico Collins, Houston Texans. He was out there for the second most snaps after Brandon Cooks for the Texans. They play the Chargers this week, who currently right now rank as the 27th, 27th-ish. I don't know how to phrase this, Kevin. They're like the fifth easiest team to pass on right now.
There you go.
And so I'm gonna bet on the snap production and facing a weaker defense. I'm gonna go with Nico Collins. He had 9 targets in week 2 in Denver, and ended up with 9.8 points. 4 targets this week. But I really do think that he can potentially have a good game against the Chargers.
Yeah. Variety of ways this game could go. And many of them probably feature Nico Collins sneaking one in the end zone, like the pick.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Kevin loves both my picks. I don't like Noah Fant, so there you go.
Whoa. Okay. That's fair.
Let's go to question time, Kevin. And I included a Panther in this first one, but we're at week 3. We've seen some good weeks from some of these guys. We've also seen some bad weeks. If you had to re-rank Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, where would you rank those three just on their own? So we're not comparing them to the whole landscape, but like a 1-2-3, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley.
Including their first 3 weeks or rest of the way?
Rest of the way.
Old habits die hard. Christian McCaffrey, number one, always and forever, until he retires. In all reality, even with Saquon's, really great receiving upside, Christian McCaffrey is untouchable when it comes to that. 10 for 80 is definitely in the cards at some point if Carolina manages to run more than 40 plays in a game.
Kevin, Matt Rhule might be an idiot.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably a good thing because he's close to getting fired now. Despite signing the 7-fucking-year contract or whatever the hell that was. Yikes. Anyway, Chris McCaffrey won. Saquon Barkley, unreal start to the season. Sure, Derrick Henry looks like he's kind of putt firing up Tractorcito. But for me, considering this is in my head PPR rankings, Saquon fits in at 2. And Derrick Henry coming in 3, still a little nervous about the foot.
Yeah, I probably go Saquon over McCaffrey now. If injuries are, thrown out, which with these three, they're not for sure. But if injuries are thrown out, I think Saquon is, probably in the best spot just due to, we don't know if Dabble's an idiot or not yet. We do know Matt Rhule's an idiot. And Derrick Henry was nice to see him catch some passes this week. But you're right. I think generally he's going to be a little more plodding. So probably Saquon for me, then McCaffrey, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, just think about these offensive coordinators. Ben McAdoo, Jason Garrett. They're just gross.
Not good.
So speaking on these fantastic coaches, I want to know who's the worst coach in the NFL for real life football. And I want to know who's the worst coach in the NFL for fantasy. Who do you not want to be coaching your fantasy players?
I could probably provide a single answer for both these questions, but I'll do 2 separate ones. My first one, he's a rookie coach, so maybe he has time to rebound. But I think Nathaniel Hackett has shown to be a complete whiff. He's, going into the season, you have Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, nice backfield. Russell Wilson, 33 years old, should be in the prime of his career. does look a little bit slow, but he's still Russell Wilson. You know, mentally and physically, he should be able to get it done.
Courtland, limited.
Yeah, yeah. What? Let's ride. Courtland Sutton, really good receiver. Jerry Jeudy, really good receiver. And to have this offense be almost outside of Courtland Sutton and maybe, you know, Javonte Williams, certainly way down from where he was preseason ranked, but has been kind of unusable almost. You know, like I said, Courtland Sutton's been pretty solid, but Russell Wilson has been terrible. The running back rotation is 50-50, which is almost inexcusable when you have a guy like Javonte. And outside of a really long catch in week one, Jerry Jeudy's been a huge disappointment. So as far as like the worst coach in the NFL, I think Nathaniel Hackett is got to be up there.
Yeah, I cannot argue with that. He looks absolutely lost out there. You know, a few other coaches come to mind. Matt Eberflus is mine. My take. More on the worst fantasy coach.
Okay.
More on the fantasy side. Unless that's, are you still getting there?
I just wanted you to do your full NFL one, and then we'll do the fantasy side. Okay. Jesus.
Full NFL. Nathaniel Hackett's probably in the lead for me. I want to throw Dennis Allen in there just because I hate the bastard. But, you know, he probably does know what's going on defense. But they also look really lost out there. I guess Matt Rhule.
All right, let's hear you talk about Matt Eberflus.
Matt Eberflus, okay. Matt Eberflus is really bad for fantasy because he's a defensive-oriented coach that thinks that he's going to be able to get this team to the Super Bowl running 40 times in the game and trying to win 9-12. You know, will they probably put together some decent teams under his watch? Maybe, but fantasy wise, unless they can start running twice as many plays, even the running backs aren't super valuable because just the offensive output is so limited. I don't want any Bears on my team anymore. I drafted, you know, Darnell Mooney in some leagues, Cole Kmet in even more leagues. I'm totally out on them at this point. I own maybe one Darnell Mooney share. And I'm staying away until, you know, Justin Fields throws forward 7 times in a game.
Yeah, you know, there is that brand of coach, defensive coach, who wants to, and I think, you know, it's the reason Mike Zimmer got fired. The easiest way to play defense in the NFL is when you have a 20-point lead. And how do you do that? Well, you throw the ball. You build a huge lead by passing, and you know, by having, if you are going to run a lot, you better be so effing good at it that the other team cannot stop you. A la the Browns. You know, the Browns are a good example.
It's put together an offense that, you know, they never feed wide receivers, and you know, except for maybe Amari Cooper so far this year, but they pass enough to keep the offense moving down the field and scoring points. What the Bears are trying to do right now is just, you know, make it as short a game as possible, which is a disaster for fantasy.
Yeah, and that's what I never got. Zimmer always said, you know, we want to keep the game close and have it, you know, why would you ever want to keep the game close? You want to kill the other team. You want to bury them.
Doors off.
Yeah. So my fantasy worst coach for fantasy is, it's probably the best coach of all time, and that's Bill Belichick. I don't, you know, there's been past iterations of the Patriots when they had, you know, Gronk, Edelman, Brady, all firing on all cylinders. James White, you could throw him in. But this past iteration, post-Brady, has been a fantasy disaster. Can't trust any receiver, really. It's week to week with those guys. The running backs are just enough to tease you, but, you know, there's going to be a huge Damian Harris game, and then Damian Harris will see 40% of the snaps to Ramondre Stevenson. And who knows, we might see Pierre Strong eventually at some point hop in there, and all of a sudden
one fumble.
Yep. Week six could be a Pierre Strong, 70% snap share because Damian Harris said a crossword at practice and Ramondre fumbled on the first snap. And so that's why I'm going to put him as I don't have any Patriots on any team, just because I don't trust it week to week. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. However, fantasy wise, he doesn't give a shit who scores or who gets the most snaps. He's going to put whoever he thinks gives him the best chance to get a first down or to get a touchdown. So he doesn't care if it's the same guy four times in a row or four different guys. So that's why I'm going to go a little different there. I just don't have any Patriots.
Take. Yeah. Great take.
Thanks, Kevin. Wow. All right. My second question. Debo Samuel is currently ranked as the 31st wide receiver in PPR scoring. How high does he climb? Where does he finish?
Yeah, I think Debo, and I was thinking about this one all afternoon. I think he finishes wide receiver 13, just outside of the top 12. But yes, he's been wide receiver 31, but he also, I believe, only has one touchdown in the season, and then that's a rushing touchdown. Trying to clarify
that. Yep, that's correct.
That's not going to continue. This guy's a touchdown monster. He's, had a lot of long touchdowns last year, but he also ran a bunch in. He's a threat in the red zone. If he's healthy, he's a great wide receiver. He's built himself a little bit of a hole to try to come back from. It's only week three. I think ultimately, and one more thing, Garoppolo, a little bit of a boost there from Trey Lance, I think, in terms of not stealing rushing work and, being a little more accurate on the middle parts of the route tree. I think he ends up about wide receiver 13. It's going to be tough for him to catch up to your AJ Browns, your Tyreek Hills, Cooper Kupps. And then there's always going to be some guys that sneak into the top 12 that shouldn't. And I think 13 is a great spot for him. Not 12, not 14, 13.
Yeah, I am worried that, he has built a hole, but he also, there's a lot of talk about he did not want to be, in that dual threat role as much. And so far through three games, hasn't eclipsed 10 carries. He's actually, the last two games had a total of 9. He's going to be successful running those plays, but how much? Because last year there were some games where he scored you 20 points and he had like one or two catches. I don't know if he can do that this year. And it's going to be a little more touchdown dependent, than he was last year where he kind of broke out. So I'm a little worried that he can't get into that wide receiver one mix as well. But you're right. Just too much opportunity to fall out of the top 15, I think.
Yep. Did have a little bit of an injury scare second quarter. That was the big issue with him the first two seasons of his career. So I think if he misses wide receiver 13 and lands anywhere else, it's because he got hurt.
There you go. little caveat there.
Asterisk. So if you drafted after week three, so draft is tomorrow.
Okay. And I can't use any of the data that I've collected.
You can use all the data that you collect, but you're not going to be able to use any points that have already been scored. Where do these quarterbacks go? So quarterback one, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Herbert.
Wow. Herbert is last for me. I think let's just get that out of the way. That's easy. Mainly because the other three guys are going to get a lot more done with their legs. I'd honestly probably put Mahomes and maybe Kyler Murray over Herbert. at this moment. So he's easy four if you're just talking those four. Gets a little trickier at 2 and 3. So let's get the other one, easy one out of the way. I'm going to take Josh Allen, number one. The guy threw 61 times in week one. They have shown a complete ability and, willingness to completely abandon all other aspects of the game and just completely ride Josh Allen. He delivers touchdown upside, rushing the ball. He has an elite wide receiver one that he can just force feed. So I'm taking Josh Allen, number one. You're stunned.
You know who has the elite rushing upside? The guy with 200-yard rushing games so far this season, who has outscored Josh Allen by 15 points already this season.
Oh, here we go, guys. Kevin put this question there because he wants to suck off Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Numbers two.
No doubt about it.
You're right, Kevin. And, you might have convinced me to put Lamar second instead of Jalen Hurts. So far through three games, he has a 42 burger, a 39 burger. I mean, those are week winner games so far. And he's throwing the ball exceptionally well. Four touchdowns and then three touchdowns in the other two games. He's MVP Lamar right now, for sure. Is it, due to getting in a weird shootout with the Jets in week one, a weird shootout with Miami in week two? They just completely pounded New England, so I'm going to give him that one. But let's see what he does against Buffalo this week, Kevin, before we call it, an easy Josh Allen, or Lamar over Josh Allen.
That's fair.
And that slots Hurts into three. I think we're seeing a super peak Jalen Hurts. He might settle back down to being, what we saw week one, which was still really good, 24 points. But I don't really have full confidence that he's going to pass for like 340 every week.
Sure. So if the draft is tomorrow, what round is your number one Josh Allen going in? For reference, he's scoring 29 points per game. So here's these guys' points per game. Lamar Jackson, 34 points per game so far. Josh Allen, 29. Jalen Hurts, 28. And then when you go down to Mahomes, it goes down to 23. Tua's 21. And then Herbert's all the way down at 20. So I was curious to see if Herbert kind of goes from, what was he at? Fifth round pick to now a 12th round pick?
Or? That definitely hurts Herbert because he was 23 points in each of weeks one and two. So he probably would climb up closer to Mahomes if he had been fully healthy this last week, I'm guessing. So I'm going to, back off him, as far as being a bust. But, we mentioned it in our strategy episode that we both kind of wished that we had gone quarterback higher in our leagues. So I would not be afraid if you're picking at the back end of round two or the top of round three, taking Josh Allen. Knowing what I know now, Lamar Jackson is easily right behind him there. Round three, easy pick in round three. Same with Jalen Hurts. Like you said, these guys are not only providing you 4 to 5 points better than the fourth best quarterback, but whenever you're facing anybody who doesn't have any of those guys, you're almost getting a 10-point cushion at one position, which is almost, almost unbeatable.
So
even though Kevin,
Justin, what round does Justin Herbert go?
What's his health status? Current health status?
You know what you know today. If he had a rib injury walking into the season.
Round 6, I think. He does have a pretty easy schedule. He has Houston, Cleveland, Denver, Seattle up next. If he can stay where he is health-wise or get better, I think he'll bounce back to around 24-ish points a game. And, you know, like you said, if you can get a quarterback who banks 25 points or more a week, you're set pretty well. The rest, the other guys outside of Mahomes are just so up and down right now anyway, that like, are you really going to trust Tua to be that QB1 for you? You know, Kyler Murray looked really bad against the Rams. You know, I don't know. It's the other guys are so up and down that Herbert is one of the more consistent guys that you would kind of bank on.
That's fair. I love Tua. Okay, that's all.
If you didn't have Lamar Jackson everywhere, would you just be scrounging for Tua?
Oh my God, I would be. I'd be chasing Tua around all over the place. He's just peacocking for me right now.
That little lefty throw is just really getting you off. You know what's not getting us off, Kevin, is our picks from last week. Technically, I went 0-1, but I did include Hunter Renfrow, and he didn't play. So he didn't cost you money, but he didn't win you money either. My other pick was Bengals Jets over 45. The Bengals held up their end of the bargain. The Jets did not. That game ended at 39.
Yep. I also had a loss in there. Bills -5.5 against the Dolphins. Didn't see that low scoring of a game coming.
Well, and I'll throw you a bone here, Kevin. I don't think when we made these predictions, you fully knew the extent of the secondary injuries for the Bills.
That was bad. Micah Hyde hadn't quite hit IR. As far as I knew, Poyer was going to play. Tre'Davious White, I think we knew was probably going to be out, but wasn't for certain. That secondary is torn up, but they still held the Dolphins to 19 points somehow. I mean, I'm sorry, 21.
Yeah.
Scored 19 themselves. But I did get a win. Snuck one out.
Yeah,
Jacksonville against the Chargers. 48 points. The line was at 47.5. Man, I was sweating every dime that I put out on that one.
Yeah, thank God the Jags really pulled that one for you. The Chargers didn't really hold their weight either, but Jags scored so much, didn't matter.
No, but you know what? We're going back to the Chargers. We're going to go Texans Chargers under 44.5.
Under this time, under. Kevin.
And rationale here, if you saw the Texans last game, yes, not a great opponent in the Bears, but they did run the ball very effectively. Damian Pierce made it over 100 yards. I think they're going to try to make this game nice and short. The Chargers aren't too excited to be trotting Justin Herbert out there all hurt and everything. They might also try to take the air out of the ball or at least be okay with the Texans trying to make it a shorter game. I like the under here. I think both teams just kind of want to get in, play as short a game as possible, and get out, not expecting a lot of points.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I do like that as well. The Texans don't look like a team that can throw the ball very easily, and the Chargers, obviously, with a hurt Herbert, say that 8 times fast, they don't look like they want to, you know, especially with Keenan Allen being out, Jalen Guyton's out for the season now. Their receiving weapons are a little, you know, underwhelming at the moment. So maybe just a nice Eckler and Damian Pierce battle.
And you cash out with a free money bet.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm going to go with an over. Cowboys and the Redskins. God, don't cancel us.
Oh boy.
Don't cancel us, please.
Orange men, red men. Oh shit.
The Commanders. The Commanders, that's who they are now. I'm going to take over 41.5 right now. My thought process is Cooper Rush has proven he can get it done. Dallas is pretty good. However, this is a rivalry game, Kevin. They're going to be fired up. Carson Wentz is going to throw the ball a lot. You know, we've seen in the games, three games, that, you know, they should be scared, but they aren't scared to let Carson Wentz kind of air it out. And so I think, you know, both pretty good offenses that are just bad enough to get the scoring. You know, we might see a couple defensive touchdowns here by Dallas. And 41.5 is a low number, Kevin, which scares me because Vegas knows something. It might be a low scoring affair, but I hope we can sneak over. Maybe 42.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance you can sneak across on this one because I do like the likelihood of a defensive touchdown, Dallas sacked Danny Dimes 5 times, and Carson Wentz, for whatever reason, cannot hold on to the football. I like a good possibility of a scoop and score happening here. 42 is definitely in the cards.
All right, Kevin, what's your second one?
I'm coming right back in on it. Washington plus 3.5 against Dallas. Washington has shown that they can push the ball a little bit. Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, all looking good in stretches. I think they can put it together here, hopefully spread Dallas across just enough. And Vegas is giving you a nice little 3.5. Make you feel a little good about, even if you lose, it should still be close. 3.5 will be in the ballpark here.
Yeah, I wish on my pick I got the half point, but I didn't. I have Ravens plus 3 over Buffalo. This game is in Baltimore. If it was in Buffalo, I say no chance, but this one's in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson is, like I said, MVP Lamar right now. I think that with all the injuries in Buffalo's secondary, I think the Ravens can at least keep this one close and maybe pull out a victory. You know, I thought long and hard about putting a little money line down to get that, you know, big money pouring in. The big money pouring in if you go money line. But, you know, if you want to be risky, you can go money line or just take the 3 like I'm going to.
MVP Lamar. It's going to be a fun one. That'll be a really good game.
Absolutely. That's it for the primer, folks. Good luck. I got a battle back. Got a really bad start. So I'm going to use some of the knowledge that we provided this week and go and win myself 3 matches.
There. Have a day. Have a day, Logan. We'll see you next time.
See you, folks.